You know, in our lives, when we think about influence, we think of a lot of different, I guess, aspects that influence could take part in our lives, in our Christianity walk as a servant to God. You know, as far as influence today, one of the things that I want to really think about, it's not just what we think of which are good examples as far as being right, it's been an influence and a good example for our children, for our co-workers, for the people in the community, for doing things, dressing modest, being a good person, having your language cleaned up, doing things that are right before God. And when you're doing things right before God, and you're doing the right things before people, people that you're around every day, so they can see that example is an influence. But I want to really focus in on an influence, I think, today, and thinking about sometimes is just the boldness that we as Christians should have in our lives, that we talk about Jesus Christ, that we mention things of how we believe, and that we have a boldness about ourselves. And sometimes we just say, you know what, oh well, I'm going to say it. And so we are so caught up today in afraid that we're going to offend someone. You hear that so much at work, that they have rules from HR services that says you can't say this, you can't say that. If somebody hears you say that, even as you're walking by, they'll march you up to HR services. They got offended, and they're going to walk you through some steps and little schools that you have to go through to say, well, you know, I'm sorry. And you know, to a point, you do need to work real hard on not offending people. I agree with that. But if we're speaking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're speaking it with boldness, and it offends people, what would Paul at the time think about that when he was speaking about Christ? Now, he didn't want to offend people in a lot of ways, and he tried to not offend them in ways of how they were, of what they ate, and where they were from, and things of that nature. But he was going to speak about Jesus Christ. And he was going to influence people about Jesus Christ. And he's going to talk about what he stands in, what he believes in. And in doing that, I don't know if this offense thing was really what he was thinking about. He was going to speak about Christ. Now, I think us today, brethren, are so bombarded about offending someone that we have become scared, and we find ourselves crawling in a hole, not wanting to say something because we're going to be afraid of offensiveness. Or a little bit of a shame to be able to say something almost. It's just like, you know what? We're cowarding down and we're afraid of the consequences of mentioning Jesus Christ. When we think about influence, we can start with Matthew 5:13. And we're going to focus in about what influence says here in the Bible. Be thinking in your mind what influence, a definition of what you think influence is. If we focus in about influence, and the good and the bad can go both ways with influence. And I've drawn just a little bit of a diagram here and thinking about that with here in Matthew 5:13-16. We're getting in a little bit of what Zane's lesson was, a great lesson on light and darkness. But it's mentioned here in the scripture that we're going to use for introduction. We're speaking about when we're comparing a Christian as of salt and light from a candle. And when you break it down to bare bones, brethren, you really break it down, you're finding out we're either good or we're good for nothing when it comes to influence. We're either light or we're darkness, so we'll be able to see and show and things be understood, is what Zane said. When we can see, we can understand, and we can see what goals in our lives are. And what does it do? We'll mention it right here in just a moment. It's to see your good works, not to build ourselves up some way of doing good works. But if we don't have them, and brethren and other people don't see them, and they're exempt in our lives, and we're not engaged, that's a problem. All this is so it will be seen. And when it's seen, it glorifies God our Father. And hopefully when it glorifies God our Father, they will ask, what about that belief that you believe in, that you're going around doing those things? Matthew 5:13-16, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When you break this down, if you take an engineer, whenever there's a problem somewhere with something, they will look at that problem, and they will start working from that problem the other way. They'll look at it from the last thing that happened to the last thing that happened to the last thing that happened, and they'll get to that core of the problem. When we see and start looking about these examples as a Christian and looking at salt as an example and a candle and what it will do. If we put a bushel over it, we won't be able to see it. If we put it on a candlestick or a holder, rather, people will be able to see it. And you just work your way up. When you work your way up, either we are doing a couple of things. And when you get down to it, it's not difficult. We either are good at it or we're good for nothing at it. Either people are seeing it or they are not. So the effects of it has got to be the effects. Number one, that we are engaged and not being disengaged, that we are moving forward, we're taking action. And then when we do take those actions, that it's in a good way. It's a positive influence. You know, when we see these examples, I think the reason I'm doing this lesson, there's some things that come across to me that just stand out, and I've got to go back to my lessons and pick one out. Bonnie and I went back for a baby shower, our granddaughter coming up here soon. She went to Addison. And Bonnie and I, on the way back, went to Bridgeport, then to Addison for her to go to the baby shower. On our way back, we stop, at Sam's in Wichita Falls. And Bonnie probably doesn't know where I'm even going with this yet, but she was there shopping. And when we go there, we take her, you know, little car, and we're going through, and we throw all the stuff we need in that little car and pack up and take it home. While we're there shopping, met this man. Bonnie and I were going around, and we get to the water section. We were getting water out, and there was a man there, and this guy was different. He was different. And we got talking, and his name's Bobby Jean. That's with a J. And Bobby Jean got talking about lots of things, and Bobby Jean knew the Bible. When you're looking at Bobby Jean, you wouldn't think he knew the Bible, but he knew the Bible. Got to visit with him, and he knew scriptures. Bobby Jean had long gray hair, had a feather coming out of it about that long, eagle feather or hawk or turkey, I'm not sure. Ear was pierced all the way through here, several places, leather laced through it hanging down. Leather jacket, pretty good long hunting knife, laced leather off of it, leather boots, tattooed out. One big red diamond here with a cross in it. And he said, I was former bandito. Now, I thought always once a bandito, always a bandito, but he said former bandito, so I took him for his word. We got talking, spent time in prison, got to visiting with him, and got to kind of scriptures. We got talking about scriptures some, and this man was bold. That's what I loved about him. And was he right and everything? You know, that's one of the first things we do when we're around someone like that. It is for me. It's like when he starts talking the scriptures and then his actions go one the other way. I'm like, okay, well, you know, he's not doing this. This is me. This is me in religion speaking here instead of just relationships. Well, he's wrong on that. Well, he's wrong on that. By the word, he's wrong on that. You know, he had some cursing going on. Well, he shouldn't be doing that because we read that, you know, there's only two fountains, or it should be one fountain. It should be sweet. It shouldn't be sweet and sour. Our language should be good. So I'm in my mind going through all this. I'm like, well, Bobby Jean, you're saying all this about the Bible, you know, I'm kind of making some judgments there. Instead of just really taking time to listen, to have a concern, and then see what he has to say about things, and then later on maybe saying something from the scripture to him about it, I start making these judgments, these prejudgments, which ain't right. Well, Bobby Jean, before it's over with, here's the boldness that he was wrong in some areas, but the boldness of this whole thing is this, brethren. He said, what's your name? I said, Britt Doty. And he said, let me have your hand. He grabbed my hand and he led the most beautiful prayer right there in front of the chicken aisle at Sam's. And it was a great prayer, brethren. It was a prayer that was positive. It was not from an uneducated man that looked like some biker thug that had been to prison. It was a beautiful prayer from a man who had read the Bible, that knew the Bible, and had genuine concern for me. And I was sitting there making judgments on him. You know, it's just the boldness is what I'm talking about. We're scared of the boldness. I don't know that I'd grab anybody's hand, a stranger, and said, you got to talking to him and said, let's have a prayer. I was probably too chicken. I was too chicken to be in front of the chicken. And so the scriptures teach us that we should be bold. And Bobby Jean was an influence on me that day. And I want to tell you something. We should be, as Christians, good. We should be light, that they can see the good works and glorify our Father. And sometimes I fail. And the people that we look around and we see that are really different like that, he was the one that was influencing. And so we learn, and I learned that day, we need to be more bold in our lives. Good influence. Here's a good example here we can read about. You know, when you think about influence, it's action. It's just, it's not just talking about it, saying good words. It's following up with the things in our lives, having those relationships and taking action. Acts 9, 36 through 39. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her up in an upper chamber, and forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and shewing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. You know, we can see these examples, a good example about good influence. When you think about good influence, we see that this category did not cover her at all. That it was good influence, that it was things that she had going on in her lives that she did for people that they remembered, that they were sad about when she passed away. And you know, we can talk about it, we can pray about it, and we can do things in our lives to try to have that good influence. But action and doing, we see, is so important when it comes to influence. It's what people remember. It's when you say a name, you can say, oh yeah, that's so-and-so, and he did this. So she had a wonderful example there. We're not going to get into reading all of these here. We're going to kind of paraphrase around a little bit on some bad influence. When you think about some bad influence, and I want you to know it wasn't always that these men here had bad influence. Maybe King Manasseh, he was an evil king. But there was times, Solomon, I mean, he was a great king. He was a good person. He was very intelligent, a great leader at times. Jonah, same way. But there was times of weakness that things that went on that they had some bad influence in their lives. First example, King Manasseh. King Manasseh took what King Hezekiah had already instilled in place with the children of Israel, which was good. And that was taking and tearing down all the altars and them worshiping false gods. King Manasseh put those things back in place after Hezekiah had, his father had tore those things down. So everything that's good and the good influence of Hezekiah that he had done, and God had asked them to be obedient to, Manasseh come in and did the opposite. So we see the influence that King Manasseh had on the people, and the things that he did was just terrible. The sacrifices that he did, if you go in and read these scriptures, they were not good things. There was the influences there with the children of Israel was not a good thing, so it went completely opposite. You know, when you think about bad influence, you think about so much of the time is there's going to be possibly sin in your life that someone sees, and that affects and starts snowballing and going out. You know, you don't sin to yourself. Heard a lesson from Danny Harrington at Bridgeport when we were there. He was on King David. No one sins to themselves. You're not in a bubble. We are not in a bubble, brethren. When we sin, there's going to be things that can go on that will snowball and touch others, whether it's family, friends, co-workers, whoever we're around, so it's going to affect them too. And therefore, King Manasseh, that was the problem. He was leading a nation, and it was affecting the children of Israel. Not a good situation. Solomon. They already had, like Solomon here, things that they had to be obedient to, things that God had asked them to do. King Solomon become involved with many wives that from other nations that God had asked them not to be involved with, that they will take you down the wrong road of worshiping gods that you don't need to be worshiping. And that's exactly what it did. When Solomon took on these many wives, we find out that was the influence from those wives. But King had already been warned by God, don't do that. And he did. And the bad influence of that was not good. We see Jonah. The same thing. He had instructions to go and teach the word to Nineveh. And we see that he left from one place and he went the opposite direction. He did not like the people of Nineveh, did he? Remember the story on that? When he sailed the wrong direction, we find out that God got involved there and caused a great storm. We see that the mariners there that was there with Jonah got afraid. And they were terrified because all the sea was boisterous. The ship going to and fro, we find out because of Jonah's sin, what it do. He wasn't obedient to God. It affected others. It affected the mariners. They're all scared. They're like, what is going on? So they draw straws. We find out the straw fell on Jonah. So therefore, they see what reason. They ask him questions. Why is this going on? He was supposed to go and preach here, but he went there. So they're like, okay, off you go. So the life that Jonah at that time had changed, hadn't it? It went from doing what God had been telling him what to do, I guess, and one time you're obedient, and then boom. We find out this action start happening because of just the role of disobedience and of sin. Bad influence. You know, when you think about bad influence versus good, excuse me, it's like a lot of things in our lives. When we get to this influence, there's 50-50. There's two things in your life that's going to go on with it. And we can look at that throughout our lives with anything. Grab this cell phone, and it's wonderful. If I get stuck somewhere, I can make a phone call and get help. I can call Bonnie and say, Bonnie, I'm going to be a little late. I'm caught up here. I'm trying to get this done. I'll be home at so-and-so for supper. There's good things about this. We can find and get a map on it, but you can also get in this thing and get in a lot of trouble. And when we find ourselves doing that, we can see, again, you're getting into that 50-50 rule of right or wrong. If you write a letter to someone, you can make it evil or you can make it word with seasoned talk and good words and influence that will get you where you need to go that are good things to say or go the other direction. You know, in any part of our lives, we've got two choices. If we're obedient and we're faithful to God, we're going to make the right choice. And we're always going to make that right choice and we're going to go to the areas that we need to in our lives. Bad influence destroys good. Now, I can think of all these examples of Manasseh, of Jonah. We can see these examples of this life that they maybe they were living to a point. You had Hezekiah that had this exactly where God needed it. And then you got Manasseh, which in the days of children of Israel really had a couple kings that were good, but most evil. But you finally get this right here for the children of Israel, and then one just comes in and takes it out. Ecclesiastes 9:18, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. So when we think about much good, we can see we're doing exactly what God asked us to in this example in Matthew 5. But there's times in our lives, possibly, if we're weak and our influences ain't right, we get into the other 50% of our old mind and it just goes right there, good for nothing. So what are we, brethren, today? Is it something that's going to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men in our lives, tossed out like trash? Or is it something that's great that people will see and that will see your good works and glorify your Father? You know, to me, when we get sin going on in our lives and we think about that and we tell our children this when they were growing up, you're going to glorify your God when you make the decision to do that? Is it going to really, what about your grand? What's she going to think about it? We'll throw grandma and grandpa in there to all the kids at the time. What's grandma going to think about that? And then we get to speaking to them and we try to get some authority in their lives to look up to help them make the right decisions for their lives. God made this earth, made you and I. What better authority do we have to look up to know how our influence is going to be judged, good or bad? One sinner destroyeth much good. Influence is so important. How do I know what kind of influence I have? Number one, what kind of fruit do you bear? This is not the pear tree in your backyard, folks. This is what we're doing in our lives. Daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. What do we have that's going on? What's our goals? What are the things that we have that's a fruit? John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. What kind of friends do you have? 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications or company corrupt good manners. When you think about that, we think of, yeah, we are going to have to live in the world. I understand that. We are going to live in the world where we see things, be around somebody that, you know, they are this way. But we've got to figure out that we live with that world, but yet we don't pick up their ways. We don't do the things that they do, because that's not what God is wanting us to do. We need to see good works. And so the company that we keep, brethren, that we're around on a daily basis is going to affect us so much. How do others speak of you? Reputation. 1 Timothy 5:24-25. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Cannot hide the good works. You cannot. And the things that we do and get in starting and rolling will continue to go on and go on and go on. Or you can tear it all up and sin like a sinner and destroy it. We have that choice. You know, when we're on the reputation part, I told Beverd that I was going to pick on him a little bit in this lesson, and I already gave him fair warning. You know, when it comes to a name and reputation, who do you think Beverd Dukes is? You know the scripture where Christ said, whom do you think that I am? Went through the disciples there and they started saying, well, some say this and some say that. And he gets to Peter and he says, you're the Son of the living God. And that scripture was showing you're this authority. But how did they really look at Christ, the Son of the living God? Did they look at him too by just name, or was it also the things that he did, the works that they seen and they lived with and they watched and understood, and it was a relationship. It wasn't just religion, it was a relationship. They were with a man who sat there and did all these things before them. All good. So we see that. We can remember that. We can read about it. And I'm sure the disciples did the same thing. When we say, who's Beverd Dukes? Beverd Dukes, well, some may say, well, he's my dad. He's my father-in-law. He's my son. Somebody in the community may say, yeah, I know him. I know Beverd Dukes. He goes to church over there. He maybe has worked for the county, I think, for years, farmer. So they know Beverd by these things, and they know him too by this, the things that he does. He does this. And I'm going to list some things that I think about Beverd Dukes. I know who he is. He's that fellow that smiles when I come in here to the front aisle through the doors when I first get to church and gives me a big bear hug and always got a smile on his face. I remember years ago back when we come to grandma's house at Allison. Always come up here for Thanksgiving. I can remember the man who jumped out of the truck and went and grabbed a big old black diamond watermelon and had no idea where he was going. Went through the big old tall Johnson grass, grabbed a watermelon, and got back in for us to have to eat a watermelon. What I'm saying, good works, the things that we have going on in our lives are effective. They are so effective that people will remember not just Beverd Dukes' name, but the things that he has done. And it's the same way for all of us with our children, with the people that are around us. And when they say, well, who's Britt Doty? And it's either going to go two ways. And they're going to think about it. I hope it's this or this. And you can see the effect. You can know what the effect salt is in this Matthew example. We're going to be the same. It's going to be, we've either got some flavor or we don't. We can either see or we don't. And all those examples that they use with physical things that we can see and touch was to help them understand they need to see your good works and it needs to glorify our Father. So, name is very important. But the good name comes from good things that go on in our lives that we do for others, and it's out of a love for Christ. How do you make the most of your influence? One of the things I believe as far as getting down and really focusing on this is consistent life. Not a bunch of up and downs in our lives that look like a roller coaster, but it's that consistent life that we continue to work hard and strive. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When we think about this reasonable service, we are to continue to work, that we present our bodies as a sacrifice. know, when we think about sacrifice, there's a lot of areas of the Bible I think sometimes we try to split hairs on sometimes as Christians on some different subjects. And really for me, it's like when the sacrifice part comes in there and as a child of God, make sacrifices. If it's hard for you to do that, make a sacrifice and do it anyway, if God's asking us to do it. That's the sacrifice part, I believe. Christ didn't want to get up on that cross, the physical part of him, but he knew what the prophecies were. He knew what the scriptures were. And as a man, he didn't want to die, but yet he did. He chose to die because he loved God, his Father. He loved everyone on this earth, and he chose that life. He sacrificed. If we are to have influence and a consistent lifestyle, there's going to be a lot of sacrifices that we have to make. When we present our bodies to do that, I believe the holy and the acceptable unto God is going to fall right in line, and it is our reasonable service. Paul influenced by his example because there is clarity of life. You know, you could look at Paul's life and from the scriptures that we read, and we can see what went on in his life. The clarity of life, when you think about that, when we have a clarity of goal in our lives, and other people are seeing that clarity of life, and there's nothing shadowing that. There's nothing that is like, wait a minute, did he do that or she do that? No, surely not. They know without a shadow of doubt that that person is right, that's good, that he's striving to do what's right. Clarity of life. I know what Sean Zeebach's got on his mind when it comes to scriptures. I know where he's at. I've seen him since he's this big, growing up with it. I know his goals. I know he loves the Lord. I know that he does the things that we know as evangelists should do. There's a clarity to that. But you know, when we see if an up and down roller coaster in someone's life, the clarity and the consistency begins to fail. 1 Timothy 1:12-16 says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might shew forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." You know, some of the things I don't know in PowerPoint if you're supposed to underline so much. They say not to, really, to have a, but so I had to. I like underlining. Underlining makes you focus and look at that right there. That pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You know, I've kind of have used this once before, and I hope it affects your thinking again. A pattern. A pattern is a man building cabinets. And he builds a door and he wants 12 more just like it. And he makes a pattern, a template, and he makes them, cuts them out, and they're all the same. For the ladies, it's taking a pattern and laying it out onto a material and cutting it exactly around that pattern. Why? Because they already have a pattern. This is such a simple example that we can look at to be a pattern. To which hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. It just continues and continues that we have this example that Paul is telling us about. Clarity of life. There is no difficult, far-fetched non-truths. We have the truth. We have this in our lives that we can go to have this pattern. And it just keeps on going to our children when we teach it to them. God has a purpose for your life. When we think about all this influence, Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We see that we are his workmanship. We're God's pleasure that we can continue to do these things for him and make good works in our lives be effective. Your influence will last longer than your life, brethren. How many people, I mean, seriously, can you think right now? And I can think of some that went, I guess it would be at Allison, Texas, that was here before, and I know you can too, that have gone on before. When I went to Bridgeport there for years, married Bonnie, people that grew old, passed on, and we looked at them and we looked up to them, and those patterns and those examples, still think about them. I mean, it affected my life, and I'm sure it affected yours. There were people here that went to Allison that affected your life. Maybe it's your dad. Maybe it's your uncle. Maybe it was your grandpa. Maybe it was just a friend that come to church. But there's things that they did as a Christian that went on and on and on. Hebrews 11:4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. There's people still talking about it. And I know the examples that were before you, you still talk about it. And you look up to it and you love those people even though that they're gone. But we think about that and we go to the scriptures and we see why they were thinking about it. It just keeps passing all the way from Christ. Paul took them, rode with them. All the disciples, and we continue to do the thing as soldiers for Christ. We're going to end this lesson now. And if you get your song books, we'll get ready to sing an invitation. We find out influence is important, that we have an example from Matthew of how we're to be. We have examples that shows us that we are to have good works in our lives, and they are to be seen not in a boastful way, it's not in a way that we think that it's going to, those good works to get us to heaven. We know what we need to do as far as salvation, but it has to be a part of our life. And if it's not, make it part of your life. If you're lacking here and we're not engaged and we're in neutral and we're roller coastering down along just of the way, free ride, brethren, we've got to have an attitude that we want to get involved, that we do and get engaged. And why? It's to glorify your Father. Somebody's going to ask you about it, and we have the opportunity to teach them gospel. Or a possibility of, you know, they have something going on in their lives, and you can influence, and you can get on that subject about Christ and how he died and how he arose. And you can talk to them about that. First thing I believe as far as influence with someone, and you think about the boldness of this. If we really think about the boldness of it as we started out, if we make a relationship, not just religion, if we make a relationship with people and they have something going on in their lives and we become friends, number one, we become friendly, we visit, we talk, we get that relationship going, maybe help with some needs. I believe that God's Bible here teaches us when we're doing that, that they're going to ask about that belief in us, and we will have that opportunity to teach them the gospel, and it's going to glorify our Father in heaven. I don't know the minds and the hearts of those that are here. I hope the things that we've said are beneficial to you in your life about influence and how we can take and be more bold in our lives to speak about the gospel to Jesus Christ.